Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about the different kinds of domestic violence and abuse tonight. And we're also discussing how you can stay safe if you believe you're being victimized. My guests are Lynn Twyman, domestic violence advocate and social activist, and Marsha Woodland, domestic violence advocate and founder and CEO of Building Bridges Incorporated, a domestic violence support organization. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Diana, calling from College Park. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Harold. And how are you this evening?
I'm doing just fine. Go right ahead.
You could call me Deanna because they call me that at home.
Oh, so I got it right the first time. Yay for me.
You got it right the first time. It's Deanna in Spanish and it's Diana in English. So go figure.
go ahead.
But I just wanted to let people know that when they're talking about domestic violence and mental abuse, it can start. People don't understand it, and women particularly, because we're so connected to these magazines and these shows that tell you, you know, how to please your man, how to dress seductively, how to do this, how to do that to make you better. But it can start as simple as a statement like, "Are you going to wear that?"
Mm-hmm.
And then it can snowball into, "You're not going to wear that." And then all of a sudden, and if you let it snowball like that, that can be one of the onsets of mental abuse, and then can trigger some physical abuse if, you know, if it escalates to that. I have a friend that happened to her, and I just noticed it over a period of years, and how it snowballed and how it affected her, and it affected her family, because it was one of those situations where he would say something in public like, "Yeah, I really didn't like those shoes," and stuff. So then, all of a sudden, you know, all of us as females, you know, I was like, "Oh my God, those shoes are beautiful." Well, I don't really like them that much, and he was like, "I don't really like them that much," etc.
Mm-hmm.
And it can trigger, and it can just snowball from something so small. And if you don't have a network or a sisterhood or even another brotherhood, somebody said, "You know, your shoes look fine. What's wrong with them?"
Yeah. Well, Deanna, Deanna, thank you for making that very, very good point, and I appreciate your input. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're going to go back to the phones in just a bit, but I want to talk to Marsha for just a bit, because Marsha, as I said, you've been on this program before, and as always, you know, I've always seen you as a very, intelligent, very positive sister, just supportive as it relates to all of the issues that you have been dealing with in the community. And yet, to be a survivor of domestic violence, tell me your story briefly.
Thank you, Harold. Mm-hmm. Well, basically, there was a high prevalence of domestic violence in my family. That was the norm for me. And a part of that norm was to keep what happened in the house in the house. Also, to keep your family together no matter what. So despite black eyes, broken arms, bruises, and things of that nature, they stayed together. And so I always tell people that I was destined to become a victim because that's what I knew. I was predisposed to the violence. And so going through domestic violence with my mom created the perfect victim in me and the perfect offender in my brother. I became my mother and he became my mother's abuser and I became his victim. And so my domestic violence started long before I entered a romantic relationship. And a lot of people don't realize you don't have to be hit to be a victim of domestic violence.
Mm-hmm. How did you figure out that what was happening to you was wrong, was beyond the obvious emotional and physical pain, but that the bigger picture was this is not the way that it was supposed to be? How did you begin to work on making yourself safe?
I realized that what was happening to me, number one, it was not my fault. Number two, it wasn't right.
But how did you do that?
Someone had to teach me that. I only knew what I knew. I could not have gotten out of domestic violence by myself. Without help, it would have been virtually impossible because you only can do what you know how to do. When I knew better, that's when I was able to do better. And all help when you're a victim isn't good help, Harold. Some help diminishes hope.
Explain that.
Well, if I leave a domestic violence relationship where I'm being threatened, coerced, manipulated, controlled all day long, and I come to your agency for help, and you threaten, manipulate, and coerce me as well just to get a bed, then I might as well go back to my abuser.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I said, you know, there's a saying, all money isn't good money. All help isn't good help for a victim. I don't want to be in another relationship that resembles the relationship I'm trying to get away from.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Stacy calling from Southeast D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Harold.
Hi.
I just want to praise these women for telling their story. And just to say, if they could also speak on to women that are listening that don't realize that it's not embarrassing to tell your story. It's not embarrassing to ask for help. And I was one of those women that at one point I thought, why didn't they reach out for help when I would hear someone's story? Mm-hmm. Until in a relationship, I had a man that pushed me, and immediately the light went off, not of seek safety,
mm-hmm.
but of embarrassment. Like, how do I tell someone that someone put their hands on me?
What do you do for a living, Stacy? Or what were you doing for a living when this was happening?
I was working as a full-time office manager, and I was also volunteering answering the helpline for domestic violence calls.
So it was happening to you, and yet you were working for an organization, volunteering for an organization that was trying to help people deal with this.
Well, I was helping, and then when it happened to me,
mm-hmm.
I felt embarrassed.
Yeah.
And I felt like I shouldn't be answering phones, giving women advice, even though I went through training to be able to answer the help center line.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more the embarrassment. It was just so overwhelming that it was like, I shouldn't be the person on the other end of the phone listening.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help these women because now I get it. I feel embarrassed.
Well, let me have Lynn respond to that, because Lynn, that was the subject of the talk around town with Millette Green, mm-hmm. and also how we really opened up this program where you cannot pinpoint a victim or even an abuser based on how they look. There are abusers that do not have high school education. There are abusers that have PhDs. There are abusers that are working class. There are wealthy abusers. There are abused people, mm-hmm. men and women, that are well educated and on the surface look fantastic. But the reality is that they still can be victims or abusers.
Absolutely. I mean, the most common form of abuse is mental abuse, psychological abuse. And I, you know, when I do my trainings, I tell people one of the ways that this abuse is committed is something that all of us have actually done at one point or another in our lives.
Which is?
Lying.
Okay.
Lying. Mm-hmm. So the abuser, whether it be a male or female, works very, very hard at distorting the truth for the victim. And so that goes back into power and control. If I can make you feel as the abuser that what you were feeling or what you were seeing is not the truth, that your eyes are deceiving you, your ears are deceiving you, then I've got you right where I want you. And, you know, I was in a situation similar to Stacy's about, goodness, almost 15 years ago. I was actually working for a law enforcement agency and when I was going through my abuse. And at the time, there weren't as many jobs and programs that address domestic violence in the workplace, employees actually going through this. So in my situation, if I had reported my abuse, I would have lost my job. If I had taken out a restraining order or a protective order, I would have lost my job. And if I lose my job as the victim, that makes me more dependent on the abuser. And so it puts me even in a worse situation. Then you have some women or some men that can't report the abuse because they just don't have the family resources or that healthy support network to support them. Sometimes you have children involved. And so that's another dynamic that's involved as well. So I was in a similar situation like Stacy's years ago. And what, you know, Marcia mentioned about, you know, not all help is good help. You do have some programs out there, and the way they keep their funding is by increasing their quotas. Mm-hmm. So what happens is
they go fishing.
And let's say you have a woman that comes to, you know, their shelter or their program. They may only keep that woman for 30 days and release them back out onto the streets. My thing is, 30 days is not enough to get your life back together, especially when you've had to leave with no clothes, you know, barely any clothes on your back, barely any resources. And then you have children mm-hmm. with you. Okay. So these situations that we face are real. And that's one reason why I do focus on domestic violence prevention education, because the education is key.
Stacy, thank you for your phone call. Let's go to Ivory. Ivory calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling, Ivory. What's on your mind?
Hi, I just wanted to call and share my personal experience and also just to hear other women's stories. It kind of gives me the strength I need. I'm actually going through it right now, mm-hmm. and I was going through it in the past, so I haven't even fully overcome what happened to me. I'm still going through it. I'm still allowing it to happen to me and exposing my child to it. So,
how old are you? And briefly explain your situation, Ivory, only because we have other people on the line. So share with us.
Oh, okay.
No, please go right ahead. We're listening.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I'm 26 years old. Mm-hmm. It started when I was 19 years old. I was getting beat. I had the black eyes. My child was exposed to it. She was very afraid, but I was afraid to leave. And part of me, it's sad to say, I actually loved the person who did this to me. I was still in love with him, and I did not know how to get out. And a part of me actually didn't want to. And if you ask me why, I wouldn't be able to tell you. And it's sad, and I really don't even understand it myself.
Is it still happening? You said it's still happening now?
It's still happening now. I'm in another relationship, but I'm going through the abuse. Is not as bad as it was before, but definitely the mental abuse mm-hmm. is what lingers, and that's probably how I ended up in the situation I'm in again today, because I never got the help that I should have got the first time.
Well, let me see what our panel can say about how you can be safe, because she's gone from one situation to the next. You know, it's interesting. She said it's not as bad as previously, but bad is bad.
Absolutely, Harold.
So how can she make herself safe?
Well, for me, this is Ivory.
Yes, Ivory.
For mm-hmm. me, Ivory, it was a matter of me understanding and knowing and owning the fact that I attracted abusive men. That was number mm-hmm. one. And number two, in order for me to attract something different, I needed to do something different. And I needed to heal. And so I understand that you're in it right now. Lynn and I both gave some resources. I'm not sure if you were on the line.
I did write that down, yes.
Absolutely. Awesome. And Building Bridges Foundation, I am the founder there. My number is 240-515-6268.
Let's have that number again, please.
240-515-6268. And we're at Building Bridges, the number 4U.org. We're on Facebook and Instagram.
And I'll make sure that I post that information. Can you get out, Ivory? Can you leave? Can you end the relationship? If not, why are you afraid? Share with me a little bit about that.
I can get out. I have that choice to get out. I don't feel trapped. The reason I'm afraid is more so because I'm comfortable. It's almost like a security blanket, and too many women, I feel like we start depending on that man for certain things that they may be doing for us in our lives at the moment. I work, yes, I make my own money, but there are other things that he's doing that I feel like I can't do if I were on my own. For example, with my child. He helps me with her, but there have been moments where he's done and said some really inappropriate things in front of her, and I'm so worried that she'll start to think, okay, this is the norm, this is how things are supposed to go, and she's going to end up in the same situation that I'm in.
Ivory, hold on. I've got to take a break. I need you to stay on the line also. We're going to talk to Richard in Southwest Georgia in Maryland and Joy in Southeast on the other side. We're going to talk to Lynn. She's going to try to help you briefly on the other side. So stay with us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Staying safe when you are a victim of domestic violence or abuse. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about domestic violence, the different types of domestic violence and abuse, and how you can stay safe if you're a victim. Let's go back to Ivory. Lynn, briefly, what can she do to heal, to correct the situation, to remove herself from this abusive relationship?
Absolutely. Well, Ivory, thank you so much for calling in today and for having the courage to share the things that you have shared. That's the first step, is to acknowledge and to admit when there is something wrong. My suggestions are to believe that you can make it without an abusive individual in your life. As a spiritual individual, I do believe we have all the resources and tools necessary in order to make it. And it's going to be important that you believe that that is possible, that you already have access to that. I understand that sometimes financial situations play a huge part. I'm a mother of three children, a single mother. And so I always have a concern about, at times, you know, who's going to watch my children when I am working longer hours or I'm working on a special project. But know that there are resources available for you, and you do not deserve, nor do your children deserve, to be disrespected. And there, you can't take away these days, these times that, you know, your child has with this individual. I mean, they've already been built and planted, but they do not have to continue on.
Mm-hmm. Ivory, thank you so much for your phone call, and certainly, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with you as you make some decisions and move into a healthier point in your life. So, again, thank you so much for sharing with us. Let's go to Joy. Joy calling from Southeast D.C. Joy, what's on your mind?
Yes. Mm-hmm. My question was the verbal and mental abuse. Financial abuse, could that be that your spouse is refusing to pay bills, won't work, making you feel guilty, calling you every name in the book? And is that a form of abuse?
Absolutely it is, Joy.
So how does she stay safe? Obviously, she, as many of our callers have realized, they know that they're not in a good place. And she's talking about her spouse. She's not talking about a boyfriend. She's talking about a spouse. Financial abuse, mental abuse, verbal abuse. How does she handle that?
Well, Joy, I want to say this. First of all, when you talk about staying safe, you have to decide what you want. Not every victim wants to leave. Not every victim has a desire to break up her family. And so safety planning looks different for a victim who wants to stay and work it out versus a victim who has a desire to leave. Are you familiar with Survivor Advocates for Empowerment? The safe?
No.
Okay, well, I would encourage you to look that up. It's called Survivor Advocates for Empowerment. There's a lot of information on that website.
Okay.
Okay. Was that SAFE?
Yes.
.org?
Survivor.org. Survivor Advocates for Empowerment.org.
For Empowerment?
Yes.
Okay.
It's called DC okay. Safe.
DCSafe.org.
Yes.
Okay. There we go.
Okay. And,
all right. Joy, thank you so much. Let's go to Georgia. Georgia calling from Maryland.
Hope. Thanks. Hang up and then dial your
Georgia,
operator.
Georgia, give us a call back if you can. Let's go to Richard calling from Southwest. Go right ahead, Richard.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing just fine, thanks.
I'm okay. Now, I hear, women on the panel that's basically talking about women that actually have been abused. My thing is, we as men get abused too. Me too. As a young lady just said on the phone, I've had my own business. I used to work for the government, and I retired away from the government. And when I retired, I tried to jump out there on a leap of faith of running my own business. And, I was verbally abused once. I mean, I was abused in the situation because my spouse used to call, like, a lot of my contracts of apartment communities and ask, was I sexually active with them? And, most managers, they find that conflict of interest. So they step away from you. So I went on a 2-year hiatus of not having a job. The thing that I went through for 2 years was, you worthless, you ain't got no job, you ain't doing nothing for me. Keep in mind, her mom passed away and left her an inheritance of $200,000, a house that she sold. And it went from bad to worse that I was using her, I wasn't nothing, I was never going to amount to nothing, but she forgot that all the money that I was bringing into the home. Now, I was getting police, 911 calls was on me just to try to get rid of me. She would come out her mouth and say that God tells her that she needs to get a divorce from me and she needs to, move on and find men.
Well, Richard, let me ask you, what is the status of the relationship now, if any? Are you still with her? Is she still in your life?
She's still in my life. See, that's the thing. Like, you know what I mean? It's like she play these games. Like, she will call me and say, hey, come over. The kids want to see you. I will go over. And then when she feel the need that she don't want to be bothered, she would, start things. Mm-hmm. But she will always come out of her mouth and say, oh, I'm bipolar. I need to go seek help and things like that.
What should he do, Lynn, when he is dealing with someone who is obviously manipulative, not only with children, but also with finances? And unfortunately, in one way, shape, or form, they will always be tied to each other because there are children involved. And so how do men deal with abusive women if they can't just cut them off?
Right. Well, Richard, thank you for calling in. My organization is LASERS, which stands for Leaving Abuse, Supporting Everyone, Restoring Survivors. And we advocate through our prevention education for both female and male victims of domestic violence. So a lot of my partnerships do involve male organizations in the space of mentoring boys as well as working with adult men. And so my suggestion to you is that you have to break the relationship off and make it strictly about the children. I don't know what kind of legal or custodial arrangement that you have for the children, but your focus should be on parenting and providing a constructive, healthy environment for the children. And so if you have a schedule for the children in terms of visitation, stick to that schedule. I would not allow anything to interfere with that schedule. Even if she says, well, I want you to come over, I'm lonely, or, hey, I know you're only allowed to see the kids on the weekend, but, you can see them more this week. There has to be some consistency on your part, and also to find things that will empower you as an individual, things that you can gravitate towards, whether, I don't know if you like music, if you play an instrument, whatever the case may be, because a lot of times you know, the idle mind is the devil's workshop. And that's where we find ourselves most vulnerable with intimate partners or exes. You know, they try to get in and monopolize our time. And so sticking to an agreement in terms of a schedule, I would avoid going to her home. If you're going to visit with the children, the visitation needs to be at your home or in a mutual place. And you take the children. You do not have to interact with her, because every time you give her an opportunity to interact with you on any other level, you're giving her opportunity to control you more.
Okay. Richard, I appreciate your phone call. Certainly good luck. And what is the website for lasers, by the way, Lynn?
It's www.wearelasers.org, and that's spelled WEARELASERS.org. WEARELASERS.org.
And as always, by 8:30 or so tonight, all of the websites, the phone numbers for the resources that were mentioned tonight will be posted on the Daily Drum page of WHUR.com. The heading will be being safe for domestic violence or something like that. It'll be easy to find when you go to the website. I want to make sure that everyone has access to that information. So, Richard, certainly thank you so much for sharing with us, and good luck to you. And that information will be on the website in just about 30 minutes or so. I want to thank both of you for being very candid and forthright in sharing with our listeners. This is a very difficult topic, as we've heard. It is complex. It is intertwined, interwoven. There are very, very many layers, not only when it comes to the physical, but obviously the mental, the psychological, the financial. And so certainly we want to make sure that we're able to provide these resources for people so that they can live the best lives that they can with or without the partners that they may be currently with. So again, Lynn Twyman, Marsha Woodland, thank you both so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Harold.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. For this Thursday, October 13th, I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me at hfisher@whur.com, on Facebook at Harold Fisher WHUR, or Twitter at hfisherwhur. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBC.